We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Eli, my man, let's go.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Sierra, I do have on glasses. You do know that, right?
So I cannot believe you can read that far away.
Well, it was a panic read. It was a panic read because ordinarily the spot is right here to my right in the studio. But I had to...
You do not have 20/20. You have x-ray vision.
Yeah, because I have on glasses. If I didn't...
I have on contacts. I still can't read that far away.
Hang on, let me see.
It doesn't matter.
No, without the glasses, it's all just jumbled. I can barely see the giant clock that we have. Yeah, it's 6:02. Welcome in. Lawrence Hopes here with you until 10 o'clock. Full boat show tonight. It is guest week because it's All-Star Week, and it's one of my favorite times of the year on this show. Every year, thank you, Tanny. Tanny, you see, brought the reads in so I could actually have them. We do this every year. Every year, All-Star Break, a lot of people like to take off during All-Star Break, but I like to do the show because I know that I am guaranteed a full show. So a lot of times my show gets interrupted by the Cubs, and
sure,
back in the day, it used to get interrupted by the White Sox, but I'm guaranteed full show. So I like to bring in people that I enjoy talking to, and hopefully the listener will enjoy talking to him too. Our one guest is right in front of me, and I'm happy that she's here because it's been a minute since she's been here. Sierra Santos, you can check her out on NBC Sports Chicago. She is fantastic, and as we always like to say, it's Sierra with one R. And if you look for the other Sierra Santos...
It is not suitable for work.
Correct.
Not suitable for NSFW. Don't even take out your little phone right now and Google it, because I know you want to. Don't do it. Don't do it. Your wife's going to get mad. Your girlfriend's looking over your shoulder. Or your boyfriend's looking over your shoulder, and he's like, ooh, what are you looking at?
So Sierra with one R, Santos, is here with me in studio. What's going on? What are you looking around messing with the crew?
No, because I'm looking to see if they're Googling it right now.
No, Eli will as soon as you leave. That's what he's going to do.
7:02.
Don't do it. Do not do it on the work computer, my friend.
Make
you
sure
will be in trouble.
You make sure it's on the personal, that's for sure. Thanks for coming in. I really appreciate this because you're going to be on tonight, right? I didn't realize that. I would not have asked you if had I known you were working tonight.
No, I went and I did our Facebook show. It's called The Rush, every day at 5 p.m. on Facebook Live. You know what we started saying about that show? It is the number one Facebook show in Chicago. You know why I say that?
Why?
How many Facebook shows are there in Chicago?
Herbie, have you started a Facebook show yet? No?
It's live. It is live every... We are the number one most consistent Facebook show in Chicago. We've expanded it. We've said Illinois.
Okay.
I'm willing to say Midwest.
Why not?
You know, number one.
Well, you would think that this market, the power of this market is going to help expand it. So you got some more eyes in the area. So I say Midwest for sure, easily.
It's basically talk radio, but on a Facebook Live show. So the one thing I love about it is we get to interact with all of the people watching. Everyone comments. They say where they're watching from. And we've got people who watch from Italy. We've got people who are watching in Florida, California, all over the place. And we always give away really awesome prizes, which I'm not saying we're bribing people, but we're bribing people also to watch the show.
I was mad because I was there doing some bear stuff a while ago, and it was like National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
Yeah, when are you going to come on The Rush?
I've never been invited. I would happily come and hang out with you guys, and I can make it over here before my show.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You should come.
All right.
And we'll bribe you, too. But, yeah, I am doing In the Loop at 10 o'clock later tonight.
But let's get back to the fact that y'all had cookies and I didn't get any. Like, that was upsetting. I felt like...
There was a box, wasn't there?
Well, there was a plate.
It was a plate. Ooh, no.
And I would have had to like come onto the set to snatch the cookies. And I'm just sitting there like, man, I thought me and Sierra was cool.
No, we're cool. You could have come over and grabbed a cookie. I mean, that's the cool thing is we don't just talk about sports. We talk about, you know, a variety of topics. One of our big topics today was very Cavallari.
Okay. I'm glad that because Eli, the text message from Eli today was, hey, do you need any sound? Because ordinarily this is a show that's based a lot on sound. There's me and the crew, and we're usually the only people here at night. So I use a lot of sound to set up different topics.
Sure.
With guests coming in, I didn't really feel like we needed any sound, you know, because I figured we were going to talk about stuff. But the one thing Eli did tell me is that he had a lot of sound from Very Cavallari.
Those fish are thriving.
Those fish are thriving. Can I just say, as someone who covered Jay Cutler every day for a majority of his career, I am loving that people are finally getting to see the Jay Cutler that I saw every day. Like, I never had beef with Jay. I always enjoyed Jay. But this, like, he speaks his own language, but I feel like he's the narrator of this show.
Did
like,
you watch the last episode?
I've watched both episodes of it. Okay. I'm all over it. Have you not watched it?
I didn't watch this last. I mean, I saw highlights from the highlights from the first episode, and then I didn't watch the second episode. But I heard that there wasn't enough Jay.
There's not.
The people want more Jay.
Can you believe that? Like, think about that. Like, this is a town that we ran out of town on a rail. And now there are so many people watching in Chicago and being like, Jay's kind of cool. And this is what I was trying to explain to people, that once you get into, like, the way Jay talks and the kind of, you know, don't care, like, attitude, he's a funny dude.
I felt pretty comfortable.
Not doing anything. And what I think is interesting, Sierra, is how quickly it has gone from Jay's probably retired to his wife being like, when are you going to get a job?
I know. That's what I didn't understand, because in the same token, she was giving him crap for going to go pick up the kids from school, picking up and dropping off the kids from school. And then she's like, so are you retired? No, like, what's going on? But then she wants him to go get a job. But then she also says, I want it to be about me. It's been about your career for the last however many years together. Now, you know, it needs to be about me. I want to focus on me. Then don't have him get a job.
I like to keep myself pretty free. So if something does pop up, bounce right into it.
For a guy that's been getting his head bashed in for the last 11 years, I think maybe a full season of him not doing anything but dropping off and picking up the boys, probably
there's
fine.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Especially considering that he made $126 million in that stretch of time.
Exactly. And I mean, do they have a nanny on the show? I don't know.
I'm sure there's some sort of nanny.
Okay, but it...
I'm sure of it.
She has to feel good. If she wants to go out and be a go-getter and pursue her career, it's even better that her husband is there to be able to take care of the kids and pick up the slack. Why does she want him to get a job? I'd be like, you know what, honey? You take it easy.
I do wonder if it's one of those things of the relationship works because you're not around each other that often.
That happens a lot with athletes, though.
I know. And so then it's like, man, you again? Like,
they're happily married until they stop playing sports, and then they're around all the time, and the wife is like, ooh, I don't really like this. You know, maybe I'm going to hot yoga. I don't know what you're doing, but I don't want to see you when I get back.
Yeah. And I think that's happening on Very Cavallari.
It could be possible.
Why do you think Bears fans are enjoying it? By the way, the Bears themselves, did you guys talk about this?
No.
The Bears themselves tweeted out that they were watching last night.
Really?
Like during the show, they tweeted out like a brick wall, and then like someone peeking behind the wall and be like, we're totally watching Very Cavallari right now.
That's well played. But I forgot. You distracted me. What was the question?
Sorry. Why do you think Bears fans are watching Jay?
Because everyone wants to watch a train wreck. You know what I mean? It's like you can't turn away. And I think that they spent so much time bashing him. They want to look for another reason to like pile it on. But there really isn't that much of a reason to pile it on, because guess what? He's entertaining. And I mean, I guess they probably, and like you said, people didn't really understand that when he was here. So, you know, maybe they can finally see who the true Jay Cutler is.
What was some of the reaction that you guys got today when you were talking about it?
People are like, why are you talking about that show?
See, that's the other thing that I don't get. I saw someone, one of our guys here, Nick Szczepkowski, had written a column on 670thescore.com about watching episode one. And this guy was like, no one cares about that show. Why are you
this
talking
isn't
about
news.
It? This isn't sports. Meanwhile, it was the number one clicked on story on our website last week.
Of course. Of course. Of course.
I don't know. I've kind of gotten to the point where, like, the fun police, like, all the people that are like, sports is really serious. Like, yeah, I mean, there's times for it, but right now during the All-Star break, do we really need to do some serious breakdowns? I mean, we can. You and I could sit here and we could talk about the first half that Javier Baez has had and the Cubs jumping over the Brewers this past weekend. We can do that, but isn't it more fun to talk about how awful Jay's life seems?
I was going to bring up a similar story. Okay, so I did something. I wrote an article and we did a slideshow for Javier Baez when he got engaged. And I did a little phone interview with him about, you know, how he designed the ring, how he ended up proposing. I talked to his fiance and got the full story. And people on Facebook were like, this is so stupid. You guys are nothing but TMZ. I can't. You know what? How many people? There were thousands of views on that video, on that little slideshow with like the quotes and the pictures of the ring and blah, blah, blah. It got clicked on. Okay. So, you know, you can bash it and say, oh, it's not sports news. It's not important. It's TMZ. It's fodder or whatever. But y'all read it.
They sure did.
Y'all read it.
How do you handle trying to walk that tightrope of making sure that you show your sports chops and also trying to have fun with whatever it is you do?
I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I mean, I used to be like, oh, no, people have to think that I'm, you know, really passionate and really serious about sports and that I know everything. If I don't know something, I'll say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why I don't have that stat in my back pocket. I'm sorry. But you know what I do have is a very fast smartphone and I can look it up.
And Christopher Kamka.
Yeah, exactly.
When all else fails, he's
so,
there.
So, I mean, I think I used to worry about that too much, but now I realize that there's sometimes when something like an engagement ring is going to engage people, and that's okay. And, you know, it's people are nosy. They like to know that kind of thing. They want to know, hey, how much do you spend on that ring? You know, that type of. So it's all right. I'm not ashamed to do stories like that.
How do you think you got to that point of not caring?
Oh, that's a long story. No, I don't. I'm not really sure. I think that I just kind of had it with people. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Okay. So if I say something and it's not 100% accurate, or let's say somebody disagrees with me, then people just roast me and rip me. You don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. And they get so mad. So, or if I say something that, you know, I 100% know is true, people will be like, you're stupid. You know, it doesn't matter. You can say whatever and people will still criticize you. So then I just was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm just going to do me and take it or leave it.
I think it's probably served you well. I really do. I mean, I enjoy you do a little bit of jousting via social media. And a lot of times the jousting that you do is on silly subjects. Like I enjoy the hot takes of Sierra Santos.
It's usually about food.
Right. That you'll get Domino's late if you have to. Like you were talking about getting Domino's.
Oh,
and the
people were so mad that I had ordered Domino's. Okay. So it was 4th of July. 4th of July. Okay. And I get home from work. I did not go watch fireworks. I did not have a beer on the beach. Nothing like that. People were over at my house, okay? They were hungry. Hey, you want to cook some food? I'm like, I sure don't. No, I don't want to cook any food. It was 12:40 in the morning. I ordered from Domino's. And guess what? I had pizza points. I had pizza points. You know what that meant? A free medium two-topping pizza. No, and I didn't just order the free medium two-topping pizza. I also ordered some wings for my guests.
Okay.
and an order of the cheesy bread. Okay, fine. It never came. The order never came. It was 1:40 in the morning. My guests were starving. Everyone's looking at each other. I'm like starting to panic. I'm looking at the pizza track. Have you ordered from Domino's?
I have.
They have a pizza tracker. It's a great idea. You can see that the guy has received your order. You can see when your pizza is in the oven. You can see when they're doing the quality check. By the way, I am not paid by Domino's. I just think that I like the tracker that they have online.
Sure.
You can see when it's in route for delivery as well. It'll say like, Jamel is in route to your house. He's got your pizza. Okay, great.
So wait, did you see that the guy was in route with your pizza?
No, it never got in the oven. And so I called and I was like, man, waited on hold for 5-10 minutes. And I'm like, something's wrong. So finally, I hung up, called back again, sat on hold. Manager picks up. She's like, I'm so sorry. Our air conditioning went out and all the employees staged a walkout. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
That sounds interesting.
On 4th of July. Imagine how many orders that they had. How many orders they had at this Domino's. And all the employees just walked out. So the next day, I was dying to know. What happened? Did the employees come back? Are the doors still shut? Did they call an AC repairman? Is it running cool air right now? I wanted to know things like that. And then I got absolutely ripped on Twitter because everyone's like, you live in the best pizza shitty in the world. Why would you ever order from Domino's? And I'm like, because I like Domino's. And it was late at night. And I actually worked at Domino's.
Did you really?
Yes. I worked at Domino's, and so I know that the ingredients are very fresh. I know because I was the one who was sitting there, and I would write the dates on the ingredients, and we would throw ingredients away if they had been there for 2 days or whatever. So I know that the ingredients are fresh. I was the one who had to do the quality cleanings and stuff like that. I know it's a clean establishment. So I still am a patron of Domino's to this day. Now, I don't really know what happened to that Domino's. Maybe we'll go and check it out.
So wait, you didn't get an update on the walkout and you know the power to the people and everything that went on?
Domino's asked me to send them a DM. I didn't follow up. I just kind of was hoping that they would publicly, you know, address the issue. I didn't want to have a conversation through direct message.
So look, if we have any representatives from Domino's that are listening...
Sierra, Domino's on division.
Yes, I knew it was that one.
It's It is always that one.
So people were giving you grief because you ordered Domino's. Your options are kind of limited on a holiday at 2 in the morning.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I was still
ostracized,
crucified for my Domino's decision. And you know what? I don't take it back. And you know what the nice thing was? My pizza points were returned to my account. They are there. I can still get my free medium 2 topping pizza.
See, it works out really well. It works out for you well.
So, if you hate me because I ordered Domino's, then hate me.
Yes, Nas, we will hate you now. when you worked at Domino's, was this when you lived out in AZ?
Yeah.
Oh, dear God. So you were by a pizza oven in 100 degree heat?
Yeah, but I mean, they keep it cool in there.
Okay.
So I did more. I did a lot of answering of phones, stuff like that. I made pizzas. I was not a driver.
What was your worst customer service moment as a Domino's employee?
Worst customer service. Somebody had picked off all the toppings and were like, this was a cheese. And I'm like, no, I can see the oil from the pepperonis that you have clearly eaten, sir. But we still made him a new pizza. You know what I'm talking about? You can see the indents of the sausages, the sausage toppings too. You can see it was picked off.
So what was he like? Did he just? Now I have questions. Did he just throw those things away?
No, he probably wanted double meat, and he was put him in a little Ziploc. I don't know what he did.
So he just got this sad pizza there that's in front of him where he's been picking off and decides to call you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. Okay, should we talk about the other thing that is, it is the lightning rod of the Sierra Santos Twitter feed.
What? The ketchup on the hot dog?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want? Like, people are like, you're getting your Chicago card revoked. You're not a true Chicagoan. I'm like, well, I was born in Seattle. I grew up in Arizona. So if I'm not a true Chicagoan, it's okay. Like, and what do you have to do to become a true Chicagoan? Do I have to marry a Chicagoan? Is that how I get my, is it like a green card?
I don't.
Do I fill out an application?
Have you swam in the river? Don't ever do that, by the way.
Is that how you become a true Chicagoan?
I don't know. I'm curious on how this looks from an outsider, even though how long you been here now?
3 years.
What does it look like from?
I don't care. Why does anyone care what anyone puts on the other, on your hot dog?
I personally don't understand this either, on why that's a thing, on why it bothers. Like, if, for example, I'm someone who eats my dogs plain and I like them burnt. Like, I like them charred.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I'm a fan of that. Mm-hmm. When I go to White Sox games, like, I ask them to char dog.
They will cook it a little longer for you? I didn't know you could ask that.
Oh, yeah. If you
or
go,
they just do it for Lauren's home.
No, that's not that's not a thing. But if you go and ask, like, if you go to one of the grills and you say, hey, can you just give it a couple more minutes on there? They will do it for you. And I've always thought it was weird. It's like, oh, well, you got to have your hot dogs with mustard and pickles and stuff or your blah, 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 blah. I don't understand it at all.
See, I just don't like mustard. I'm not a picky eater. I've eaten a lot of different things. I've eaten rattlesnake, okay? I've eaten a lot of different things. I've eaten goat. I've eaten turtle soup. Like, I don't personally like mustard, and I don't like raw onions. The reason why I don't like raw onions is because they're stinky. You know when somebody from your office gets a Subway sandwich and they put all those onions in it and there's just this wafting BO throughout the office? You're like, yeah, you put some onions on that footlong, didn't you?
See, you're 100% right about that.
So that's why I don't.
But see, people, like they come after you. And I every time and sometimes, like, I'll see you retweet, like, go back to the argument when something else comes up. And I'm like, go get him, Sierra, go get him.
I mean, I just, like I said, I don't care anymore. People are going to get mad about it. If you get mad that I put ketchup on a hot dog, I'm eating it. You're not.
What's the strangest thing? You gave me a list, but what's the strangest thing you've eaten?
I think rattlesnake is pretty weird.
Where?
Arizona.
Oh, it's in AZ.
They do fried rattlesnake. It tastes like chicken.
I had alligator down in New Orleans a few weeks ago. It was a little bit better than chicken, but it was definitely, it tastes like chicken to me. You know what I mean? Like, it was like,
this is
high-end chicken. Yeah, they fried it, but, like, once you got in,
Gator bites?
It was very good. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be good, and I was like, you know, I'm in New Orleans. I'll try it. And I tried, and I said, yeah, this is, because the server came over and said, I see your, because I wanted shrimp. Like, that's what I was in the mood for. I was like, I want some shrimp. I'm in New Orleans. I'm going to get some fried shrimp. And the server said, hey, you know, we have alligator as an appetizer. Mm-hmm. Would you be interested? I was like, no. I'm not going to eat that. Like, just no. And she goes, try it. If you don't like it, you do not have to pay for it. And I said, okay. If it's free, it's me.
Okay.
Let's do it. And then I bit into it and I was like, yeah. I'm down with this.
It was good?
It was very good.
Okay.
Well, I was surprised.
Now I got to try some gator.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was probably also very fresh. I think that's probably a secret to good gator.
Good gator has got to be fresh.
It's probably got to be fresh, right?
Well, I mean, if you fry it, though.
It's the tail, right?
Yes. And it was good. Like, I really, really, what is the name of the place? I'll give you the name of the place. I went to where Matt Forte is from, is out there somewhere. But I'll figure out the place after we take a break. Sierra Santos is our guest. She is wonderful. Watch her tonight, 10 p.m. tonight?
10 p.m. in The Loop, NBC Sports Chicago.
We'll take a break. Back after this on The Score. I am hanging out with Sierra Santos. She's great. Love having her. It's been too long since she's been in here. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Illinois, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are now on sale at nusports.com. This segment being brought to you by Walgreens. Walgreens is here for all your diabetes needs. Stop by today to consult with your pharmacist and get trusted advice and tips about your diabetes medication and testing supplies. So listen, the last time you were here is honestly one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done.
Why?
So because you were so honest, and we had just like met, and you came in here and you bared your soul a little bit, and I think your story is great. So we have to kind of go over some ground that we've already covered, if you don't mind.
That's fine.
So, and I know that you've been posting the pictures lately of Sierra as a wild child when you were a high schooler.
I was super punk rock.
Very. You would
super punk rock and super rebellious, and I had a lot of piercings.
Dreads too, right?
Yeah, I had dreads. I had, like, they were a synth dread, like a synthetic dread. They had black, fuchsia, and, like, cotton candy pink, all different colors.
What was that about?
It was the best hairstyle I've ever had in my life. That's what it was about.
Will you ever go back?
If I could, yeah. I mean, you don't understand how many compliments I got on my hair. Every day somebody would stop me and be like, you have the coolest hair I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, I know. No, I would be very humbled and flattered, and I would say, thank you. You know, I appreciate it. You know, and a lot of people would stop me in the street all the time and ask me about my hair.
But in all of that, was you not wanting to go back to school, right? In high school?
No. So I didn't graduate high school.
That's what but I thought that you chose to leave. Did they kick you out? Did I have not?
No. I got suspended. I got suspended twice in like a month, and for fighting.
I would have guessed that, actually.
Yeah, I got suspended twice for fighting.
Did you win?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The first time I got suspended, if there wouldn't have been a teacher nearby, I would have gotten away with it for sure. But this girl, you're going to laugh. Okay. This is 100% this true. This girl goes, your hair looks like bleep. But this isn't when I had the dreads. Obviously, no one would have said that to me when I had the dreads. So she's like, your hair looks like da da, you know. And so I turned around, I snapped back. I was like, what did you say? And she was like, I said, your hair looks like, And I was like, oh no, you did it. And she was little. I was little too. We were in high school. So I like, but she was smaller than me. So I grabbed her and I just picked her up. And I was like, say it again. You know, say it again.
Did you have her like up against a locker?
Yeah. I go, say it again. And she's like, oh. And she started crying. And I'm like, you just acted like you were tough. Come on. Like, I thought you were trying to fight. Like,
are we throwing down or not?
Yeah. And so the teacher saw, and I dropped her, and she like crumpled to the ground. Like, and I tried to run away and go to the bathroom, but there was another teacher that came and got me, and I got suspended.
So that was the second time you got suspended?
No, that was the first time.
What happened?
I got suspended shortly after that because one of her friends sought me out and was like, I'm going to fight you. And I was like, okay. And we met in this little courtyard area during lunch. It was a guy, too. A guy was like, I'm going to fight you. And so I get out there. I was like, what? Let's go. And he goes and he pulls out a thing of mace. And he puts it like he's going to spray it in my face. And I just backhanded the taste out of his mouth. I slapped him. And I got suspended again.
So that was the end of high school?
No, I didn't get kicked out for that. I got suspended.
So when was the point when you weren't going to be allowed back or didn't go back?
No, what happened was I went to treatment twice. I went to inpatient treatment twice. Now, it was for a variety of issues. Like, I don't talk about it very often, but like, you know, I had issues with drugs and drinking. I had issues with eating disorder. I had issues with all different types of things. So I went for the first time to inpatient treatment for, I think it was a 60-day program. And then shortly after that, I had lost a lot of weight. And my parents were like, you're not going to survive. So they sent me again to inpatient treatment for a second time. And that is where I got my GED. I went to a bad girl boot camp in southern Utah. I was not allowed to call my friends. I was not allowed to receive letters. I was not allowed to talk to my parents. And I was supposed to be in there until my 18th birthday. I also, they considered me a high run risk. And so I was in southern Utah in the middle of winter, and I had to wear slippers. And our little schoolhouse was like, it was on like a ranch, right? So our little schoolhouse was a trek, but I could not wear real shoes because they thought I was going to run away. But I was in there with girls who had way worse problems than me. I was in there with a girl who had been charged with crack distribution, who was like 16 years old. She was a crack dealer.
Wow.
I was in there with a girl who had a sex addiction and she was 14. I was in there with just, it was crazy. So I never got to wear shoes when I was there, and I was trekked through the snow with my little slippers on. And this was the kind of thing where you weren't, like, if a girl was crying, you could not give her a hug. You were not allowed to have any other physical contact. It was a boot camp. It was a bad girl boot camp.
So I remember in the last time you came in, we were talking about your dad. So when you get out of this.
And I was mad at my parents for sending me.
But I would imagine. So how do you get over that anger with them?
So every day, like, as you can imagine, my life was very restricted after that because I had to stay, you know, on a program. And I would get up every morning. Because I was not allowed to sleep, obviously. My dad would get me up and I would sit there and I would drink coffee with my dad, eat breakfast, and we would read the newspaper and we would read the sports page. And so that summer, I was pretty much grounded, if you know what I mean. And so I would sit there and I'd watch Diamondbacks games every day. Every day I watched Diamondbacks on TV. And I'd get up in the morning, I'd look at the, you know, stats, I'd see, oh, okay, how are they doing in the division, blah, blah, blah. And I had always been like a casual Diamondbacks fan, casual Suns fan, but it wasn't until then that I became a huge fan. So my dad and I would get up, we'd read the paper, we'd share the sports page, we'd talk about what happened in the game yesterday. And so that upcoming Suns season, this was the Amari Stoudemire, Steve Nash era. It's like, Dad, we got to get season tickets to the Suns because they're going to win the championship this year. They're going to win. And he's like, no, they're too expensive. And they were too expensive. I mean, they were sold out every single game. So even just to get a ticket was expensive. It's like, I mean, the Bulls don't always have that problem, but the Suns don't. Okay. So I was like, Dad, you got to get season tickets. And this is a long story short. He's like, no, we can't. We ended up going to a couple games that year, a couple playoff games. Next year comes around. Dad, we got to get season tickets. They're gonna go to the championship. You know, we got to be there. If we don't have season tickets, we're not going to be able to go to the finals. Well, you know, we got to. And he's like, well, you know, finally he broke down. And we couldn't afford a half season or a full season package. So we got a half season. So we went to every other game. And so at that point in that winter, I was like, okay, well, I can do a couple of things. But I knew from then on, I was like, I want to go to games for the rest of my life. And so that's when I had always had a knack for, like, at Bad Girl Boot Camp, I was doing hairbrush interviews, like, you know, I love your sweatpants. Where are they from? You know, that type of thing. So I was that kind of girl who would always do those hairbrush interviews, like, and I always liked telling stories. And so I was like, okay, you know what? I want to be a sports broadcaster.
Was it hard did you think you were going to get into Arizona State with a GED? Like, was there?
No, you couldn't. So what I had to do was I went to community college, and at community college, like, I was very set on what I wanted to do. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And so, but you have to think, this was a while. I didn't go straight out of school. This was a couple years after. So I was like 20 years old. And so I'm in community college. I got a 4.0 and I did all my requirements to get into Arizona State. I got into Arizona State, like, no problem.
Were you a good student in high school before?
No.
Okay.
No, I was, don't get me wrong, I was in all the advanced classes, all that other stuff, because I tested really well, and I was intelligent, I was smart. I just did not like going to class and, you know, doing other things like, you know, doing other things like getting high was more important.
So you get into Arizona State. Was that the place where you really wanted to go?
I was looking at that or Florida.
Okay.
So I ended up going to Arizona State because obviously I got in-state tuition, and it's one of the best broadcast journalism programs in the country. So I ended up going there. I ended up graduating, I think, summa cum laude. I was the outstanding undergraduate student, and I was like, you know, I got up there. I got to get a little award for being, like, the best at whatever, and then I graduated, and that's how everything started.
What does your family think of all of this, this transition that happened to you between, you know, getting suspended, going to the bad girl boot camp, and then being summa cum laude at college.
The bad girl boot camp didn't help, okay? It didn't help anything. It made things worse. But I, you know, if you, when I was at bad girl boot camp, this is how bad it was. There was another bad kid boot camp elsewhere, and they, one of them had actually killed one of their camp counselors and escaped in one of the cars. I'm not making this up. It is insane. And that place that I was at has been shut down. Wow. Thank God. Thank God. Because it was abusive. It was terrible. So anyway, what do they think about it? They're happy for me. You know, they know that I'm doing really well. They never thought I would be here. I never thought I would be here. When I was doing my exit interview from Bad Girl Boot Camp, we all sat around in like a little powwow and everyone told me what a bad person I was. And one of the counselors was like, you're going to be dead before you turn 19. And I was like, now I'm 32 and I'm like, ha ha. Still not dead.
I made it. I will say that I have that same feeling because statistically, a lot of black men are supposed to be dead or in jail by the time they're 26.
Wow.
And I remember turning 27 and being like, ha ha. Neither dead nor in jail. Sierra Santos is my guest. She's hanging out here with me. Someone texted in while you were telling your story that he wishes that you could talk with his niece for 10 minutes. So let me ask you this before we take a break. What advice would you have for someone who was in the place that you were in mentally?
I mean, looking back on it, there's nothing I could have said to myself. There was nothing anyone could have said to me. You have to change yourself. And there has to be an end goal. So there has to be something that you have to want and go get. And honestly, like, I mean, I don't want to be like, sports changed my life or sports saved my life.
But it feels like that.
That's gave me a direction on what I wanted to do. And, you know, I turned my life around because I, like, it's the reason why I don't have tattoos. I never got any tattoos, even though I was in that whole crazy phase, because I was like, no, I want to be on TV. And if I get a badass sleeve, which I still want, I won't be able to show my arms on TV.
Huh.
I also wanted a neck tat.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What were you going to get?
It's a band logo.
Oh, so it was a gang tat. All right. Well, okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We come back. If you want to talk sports, we can. If not.
No, I mean, I thought we were going to talk about Ronaldo Lopez. Because you liked the interview.
I did. I loved that interview. Okay. Can we talk about that?
Yes.
I would like to talk with you about that. More with Sierra Santos after a quick timeout. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score. So I'm hanging out with Sierra Santos here for a little while longer. She works on NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow her on Twitter at Sierra, 1R Santos.
Yeah. Why not?
1R. If you do 2 R's, it's a whole different experience. For you, your sit down with Ronaldo Lopez, I was riveted by it. I was watching it and I was like, this is great. What was the impetus for you guys saying, let's do this story?
I had originally heard the story about the cow story from his agent. And he was like, man, you gotta, because his agent is an ASU grad. So and we're the same age. Yeah. So I know him. And he was like, man, you gotta get Ronaldo to sit down and do the cow story. And I'm like, what cow story? He's like, oh, you don't know about it? And so he proceeded to tell me the cow story. And that's when I was like, okay.
Wait, for people who didn't see it, tell the cow story.
Okay, I'll try to do it quickly. So when Ronaldo Lopez was younger, he didn't have any equipment. They would literally play catch. The catcher would use a piece of cardboard. And they would tie string around it. And that's what they would use. They didn't have bats. They didn't have anything. So his grandfather took him to a secondhand store, basically a pawn shop. And he let him pick out a glove. He let him pick out a new pair of zapatillas. Help me out.
Cleats,
sorry. I'm thinking in Spanish. Okay, so a new pair of cleats and some equipment. He gets home. His grandmother is furious. Where did the grandpa get all this money for to buy you this? You know, and he was like, don't worry, grandma. You know, it's for me. It's for your grandson. And grandma was furious. Turns out grandpa had sold their two cows in order to buy Ronaldo his very first glove. So it was the and the cows had names even. These weren't just like some cows out in the pasture. These were like their family animals. And I, the thing I love the most during the interview, I was like, he's like, yeah, he sold, you know, he's telling me in Spanish, yeah, he sold two of the cows, Pamela y Morena. I'm like, the cow's name was Pamela? That is amazing. Pamela. Pamela y Morena. And I'm like, oh, wait, the Pamela. Oh, my God. That's great. So anyway, his grandfather sold two cows in order to, you know, make sure that he basically he said to make sure that he had fun and that he could go out there and play and have a good time.
When I saw the story, I was sitting there going, wow, like this is some top notch stuff. And you took him to Cuban restaurant, 90 miles. What is it called?
90 miles.
Is it just 90 miles? Okay. Mm-hmm. And you guys looked like you were having a great time. You broke into Spanish while we were talking. The Spanish that I might learn in a class, how different is that from the Spanish that's spoken in a clubhouse or a locker room?
It really depends on the player, to be honest with you. Ronaldo speaks slowly and he speaks clearly. He's got an accent, but his Spanish is pretty clear and easy to understand. I don't have a problem. Abreu is a different story. Abreu is very hard to understand. Even for other Spanish speakers, he's difficult to understand.
Why?
Because he mumbles, he's gargly with his words, like it's very marble mouth. And so, I mean, even still, like Dominicans, they typically don't finish their words. So it's a little bit hard to understand. Like instead of saying, estoy cansada, I'm tired, they say, estoy cansado. Huh. So they don't say, estoy cansado. Estoy mareado. Estoy mareado. It's just kind of, it's chopped up. They don't finish their words.
But with the, I always have noticed that the, not just the language itself or the way that people are speaking, because my favorite thing, my favorite time that I've seen Spanish employed on the diamond was Lou Piniella, Ozzie Guillen. And watching those two guys communicate. Piniella speaks this kind of beautiful Castilian Spanish. Mm-hmm. Now, I can understand a little bit. I speak just a little bit. Ozzy's from the streets of right. Caracas.
Right.
The way he speaks Spanish is completely different. And I'm watching these two guys have a conversation, and I'm like, wow. Like, I'm just like, my mind was blown at the difference between Castilian and Venezuelan street Spanish.
No, and I mean, Ozzy speaks a lot in slang. So like when Ozzy and I talk, typically we'll speak in Spanish, and he speaks in slang. But that's why it's also very hard if you learn Spanish in a classroom to really understand, because they're speaking, you know, in slang. And I mean, slang is different everywhere. Slang is different from every single country.
Are the idioms that we use in baseball harder to translate now too? Because like for example, we're trying to cleats. For example, are cleats called the same thing? Because you know there are some words even in English that guys use to talk about stuff in baseball, and I'm like, wait, what? Like what the?
No, like okay, so for example, like a ground ball, it's un rolling, which is hilarious because they're really just saying the ball's rolling, un rolling, rolling. And so that's a ground ball. Things like, I'm trying to think.
I've heard a couple of people say different terms for home run.
Home run.
And what's Farmio always say? Does he say profundo? Is that what he says?
I don't know.
Farmio does it all the time.
So a home run, it's a home run, but it's just with an accent. Like home run. Home run.
This is
home run. And for, I'm trying to think of something else. I just thought of something else, but I don't remember what else? Like a ball on base, base por bola,
Base on ball.
Por bola. That's easy.
Yeah, that one's easy to figure out for sure.
But like home run, it's just with. That's why it like, okay, that's what it was. Luis Robert, okay? Everyone's like, how do you say his name? Why is it so difficult? Oh my gosh, you know, oh. And I'm like, it's not that hard. It's just because he's saying it's the way you pronounce it in Spanish. You don't go Luis Robert. And people are like, it's Robert. I'm like, no, fool ain't French. Like, he's not French. Like, he's not, in, like, it's not Robert. Robert. And you just don't, you leave out the T because you don't really, well, you just wouldn't pronounce it like that. Luis Robert.
We call him Lou Bob.
Lou Bob. I like that. That's
short
a lot easier.
It up and say, what's up, Lou Bob?
Luis Robert. Luis Robert.
You are delightful.
Oh, thanks.
And I appreciate this.
You're not going to get my pizza points.
I would like your pizza points right now. I'm shocked that someone hasn't. Okay, yeah. So it comes from Juan Uribe is the one who said profundo for a home run. Okay. So he's the one that kind of started that slang term inside the White Sox clubhouse. And Farmio has picked up on it and he uses it whenever.
You know what it means though, right?
Gone, right? Does it mean gone?
Deep.
Deep.
We're going deep. Yeah.
Okay.
Deep.
That's good.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to your points. So I'm going to need them. I'm going to need those Domino's points. Hopefully someone from Domino's hears your story.
No, they don't care.
They should care.
They don't care.
Get this woman her pizza on time.
I'm fine. I'll be fine. No, I'm going to Miami. I am not eating any pizza until I'm back.
What are you going to do in Miami if you don't mind me
asking?
I'm going
to NAH Day, National Association of Hispanic Journalists. It's our annual conference. And they're like, well, what do you do there? I'm like, well, there's training, there's seminars, there's all different kinds of stuff. You get to meet all kinds of cool people. I get to see my friends that I haven't seen since the conference before. All of us live all over the country, and it's really awesome. And the parties are fantastic.
Really?
I mean, you put together a bunch of, first of all, journalists anyway.
Yes.
Journalists generally like to drink.
A lot of drinking goes on.
So then you put, like, journalists who are also Latinos all in the same room. It is crazy. It's a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to NABJ, National Association of Black Journalists in Detroit. Yeah, and it's funny because the chapter at DePaul that we just started up for NABJ is actually, like, there weren't enough full-time black professors to, so that's why one of the reasons, like, I'm the advisor for it is because there weren't enough black professors in the communications department.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
So the person who runs NAHJ is like stepped in and has been like really instrumental in helping us like get this thing together. And I know there's a couple of joint events between NAHJ and NABJ.
The conference in DC a couple years ago was NAHJ, NABJ, but like y'all outnumbered us big time. There was thousands of NABJ members, and like there was like 400 of like the NAHJ members, and we were like,
"What's up with this?"
We're like, "Pocos pero locos, hey, Domino's, pocos pero locos." That means few, but crazy.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, but we were outnumbered, but it was cool. We got to go to your guys' parties, and that was cool.
That's a thing.
There was a task force jam. Do you know what? Have you been to that?
No, I haven't been. Yeah.
Whoa. You need to talk to Vincent Goodwill about that.
Well, he will be in here tomorrow, correct, Herbie?
Ask him about the task force jam. They rent out an entire club, and that was one of the craziest parties I've ever been to in my life.
Well, I'm not surprised that Vincent was at that party.
He helped organize it.
I'm not surprised by that one bit. I'm sure tomorrow he'll be in here blaspheming about the championship Bulls. So I look forward to that. I always look forward to when you come visit. Thank you. We have to do this again soon.
Okay.
Have fun at NAHJ. Thank you for telling your story because I think that it probably did help someone or maybe help someone understand someone else.
Sure.
So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Watch Sierra Santos tonight on NBC Sports Chicago at 10 o'clock. And then she's going to go party at NAHJ. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk some Bulls with Cody Westerlund. He'll be in here next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.